this week, what a week, what an eventful week we had. We had presidential election, we had the lookup event in Grand Prairie, and you know, it was an amazing event, I must say. The place was good for 4,000 people, and it was packed. And we do know that the gospel was spoken there in Grand Prairie, Alberta this weekend, and I just believe that many hearts come to the Lord this week, and it was sure a blessing to be part of, I know that. Also, we need to remember, like Grandma said, Remembrance Day coming up tomorrow. If you get a chance, just take a time and remember those that died for us and fought for our freedom, and those that didn't have to go to war. You know, it's a very special time, I think. This morning, I was thinking about what I was going to talk about this morning, and I thought I'd better pick something I'm familiar with. So this morning I was thinking about John 3. I know what that's meant to me in my life, and excuse me, what it's done for me, and I just thought that was probably where I would try and go this morning. So I'm going to start out with just, it's the story of Nicodemus. So I titled it To Be Born of the Spirit. So as I was looking at this passage, that being said, being a simple passage that I've read many times, seems like a lot of it might have went over my head and I didn't really study it. And I found in the last 2 weeks, as I really put my head into it and started to study it, there was a lot of things I might have been missing as I was doing that. So I was just thinking about who was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was only mentioned three times in the Bible, and that was in chapter of John. So once when he met Jesus at night, another time when they were putting Jesus on trial, he was there trying to make sure he had a fair trial. And then the last time that I'm aware of is when Jesus was crucified, he was helping them prepare the body for burial. And I believe them were the only three times. So he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were considered to be very important at that time. Holy men who made sure that the people of Israel kept God's laws. Pharisees had read most in Scripture and were supposed to know everything about God. But Jesus knew they were false. He called them hypocrites. He was a ruler of the Jews, and Nicodemus was also considered a very wise man. Being a Pharisee, he would have been all about keeping the law to secure his salvation in the law. Actually, the meaning of Nicodemus, his name, is actually ruler of the Greek. That's what his name actually means. He was also one of the richest men in Jerusalem, according to the ancient Jewish documents, which is the Jewish book of the written law, the Talmud. So this morning I just kind of was thinking about it, and I kind of, visual is something I really like to visualize things. So we're just going to play a little clip this morning, just give you a picture of where Nicodemus and Jesus were, just kind of give you that picture. So we'll play that now.
Self knew what was in their hearts. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night, he went to Jesus.
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him.
I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again.
How can a grown man be born again? He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time.
I am telling you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents. but is born spiritually of the Spirit.
Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this. I am telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen. Yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then, when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its savior. Those who believe in the Son are not judged. But those who do not believe have already been judged, because they have not believed in God's only Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness.
Please just know that you didn't come here to hear what Darcy Hale has to say or Will Graham has to say, but you're here to hear what the Lord has to say. So let's open up John chapter 3 here. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come to your house this morning, Lord, as a family of believers. And Lord, I just ask that you would touch our lives, open up our hearts, and clarify my words this morning, Lord, that they would be straight from you and not from me, Father. Amen. If you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 3, if you have your books, our so we'll start verse 1 and I'll go to verse 4. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he says, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs were evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's just keep in mind verse 3. We're going to look at it at the end again. Verse 4. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? What motivated Nicodemus to seek out Jesus? He's seen the signs that no one can do these things unless God was with him. Kind of funny too, when he finds Jesus, he's like, you know, you do these miraculous miracles and all these things, and he's trying to butter Jesus up, you know, to make him feel good, and Jesus just kind of let it go right over his head. He wasn't into that, right? I think he was looking for the truth of Jesus' motivation, and he was jealous of Jesus because of all the people that were gathering, in his followings. It's interesting how he called Jesus Rabbi. So Nicodemus is actually kind of classing, I think, as he's trying to put in Jesus in the same level as him, same class as he is. Why did he find Jesus at night? We believe that he was trying to avoid trouble. He was a celebrity, so to speak, and he didn't want any trouble. Like, he didn't want to deal with the big crowds. I think he wanted to have a meaningful conversation away from the crowds. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was an assembly of the judges appointed for each city. They sent him to find out what they could about Jesus. He asked Jesus, well, I guess I should explain the Sanhedrin. I mean, that was made up of Pharisees and Sadducees, right? There might be some more, but yeah, they were actually the, like I said, the judges appointed to that city, right? So he asked Jesus this question. He said, well, how can I be entered back into my mother's womb and then born again? I think he already knew the answer to that one. I think he was saying, just shoot me straight, Jesus. Tell me, how can I be born again? So if you want to look at verses 5 to 9. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. So he's trying to explain to Nicodemus here, I believe, is that we were born of our mother. We entered this world through water. So he's wanting Nicodemus to understand that we have to be born of our mother, and we also have to be born of the Spirit. Verse 6, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can explain how people are how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. If we are born of the Spirit, there should be evidence of good works in our lives. The Spirit changes us in a big way. He uses the analogy, the wind blows, and you don't know where it's going or where it is coming from. Just like Nicodemus didn't understand how Jesus was able to do all these things he was doing. Just picture the wind as the Spirit. We can't see the Spirit, but we can see the evidence of it in the world around us. We can know that the presence of the Holy Spirit by what the Spirit produces. Salvation is a sovereign work of God, even through a person, even though a person doesn't understand. It becomes evidence through salvation that God has performed a work in you. The biggest thing Jesus wanted us to get from this message, I believe, is that we have to be born again or born of the Spirit. So if we want to carry on, verse 9 and 10. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a represented Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I think Nicodemus felt a little crushed at that point, eh? Jewish leader and teacher didn't know these things. I think Jesus really wanted him to think about this question. Why was Nicodemus so shocked? He was sure he was doing everything he had to do to inherit eternal life. He was keeping the written law. Then Jesus turned it back on Nicodemus and said, how is it then, if you are a teacher of the law, that you don't understand these things? Now Nicodemus is wondering, why do we not have salvation if we are keeping all the written laws? He was really confused at this point, I think. Verses 11 to 13. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can it be possible you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned but the Son of Man. has came down from heaven. Jesus is saying, we see these things and we tell you these things, but you don't believe. He is trying to show Nicodemus, if you don't understand earthly things, you won't understand heavenly things. That is why we must have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Just to clarify this a little bit, this verse, I think he put that in there just to see what was to come. Just like when he was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, he saved them, and they were headed to the Promised Land. Excuse me. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 9. This is the actual story, like Jesus was trying to explain early on in the Old Testament. It says, then the people of Israel set out Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Eden. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. And everyone who was bitten by the snake could look at the bronze snake and he would be healed. When Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, they became impatient and tired of the food God provided. I don't know if that's the same as us sometimes. They turned against God, and then he sent down the poisonous snakes to bite them, and many started to die. They asked Moses what they should do. God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and lift it up on a stake. If the people get bitten, they are to look at the serpent and they will be healed. I believe this was to symbolize what was to come when Jesus was to be lifted up on the cross. If we look at him, we shall be saved. Verse 15 says, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. If we believe, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. If we believe in him, we will definitely have eternal life. This is a familiar verse, I think. We learned it as kids growing up in Bible school and Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God sent his Son to the world that all may be saved. Every person that walks on this earth, he was sent not to judge by the law, but to save people by the Spirit, so all may have eternal life. If you want to look at verse 18, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God, not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is Oh, let me start over. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God, God's one and only Son. So verse 18, I think, is pretty simple. If we believe in the only begotten Son of God, we will not be judged. But if we don't, we have already been judged. Verses 19 to 21. And the judgment is based on the fact God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. I was thinking about that as I sometimes are out in the farmyard, and we got yard lights out there, big lights. And if you're walking towards the light, you have this sense of comfort, and you know that you're not going to be tripping on things and fumbling. But boy, when you turn around and go away from the light, you don't have to get very far away from the light, and you start tripping on things, and it's just not a very comfortable feeling. I know I sure don't like being in the dark. 19 and 21, this is the judgment according to 19. If we are not changing for the better good of God's purpose, we are still wanting to be in the dark, to hide our evil ways. That's how we determine if we are saved by the Spirit. By the Spirit, we will want to go to the light and not be in the dark. We will want to be doing God's goodness through our Heavenly Father. When was the Spirit first mentioned in the Bible? Does anybody have an idea when that might have happened? Pretty soon. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. God is a spirit and does not have a physical body like men and women. The gospel written John quotes Jesus as stating this very fact, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 24 says, the Spirit of God hovering over the formless mass of earth indicates the protective, creative power of God. So, the very beginning was when he mentioned the Spirit. And then, if we look in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, God's explaining what happens to us when we do become believers. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. We get a new heart and the Holy Spirit. That's pretty amazing. In conclusion, like Nicodemus, I was looking to the wrong things for my salvation. I thought I'm not good enough. I can't give up some of my sinful habits. But then I was saved by the Spirit, started to seek God's guidance, and my heart changed. And I desired to give up my sinful habits. We have to let Him change us so that it's not about keeping the laws or what we have done in the past or the struggles we will face in the future. Simply believe He came to earth, died, and rose again from the dead, so that through him we can have eternal life and be born again of the Spirit. We have the Spirit to help us navigate this world. Like I said in the beginning, if we look at John chapter 3, verse 3, says we must be born again. That is the essential doctrine. Yeah, I think this passage has always been really close to me in my heart and my walk. And I just pray that if you spend time in this word and in this passage, I really truly believe we'll see what God can do for us and the real purpose of it. Yeah, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We just thank you for every heart here, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here and giving us your word, Father. We just ask that if it's touched somebody's heart this morning, Lord, that you would lift that up and that they would just seek you, Father. Just be with the rest of this service now, Lord. Amen.